Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Jonathan Alexander. And today we're going to talk about a subject that is important to some people, and it has to do with dating and finding the right person, or actually more specifically for men, find the right person. Now, soon my guest is supposed to call in, and she will call, and when she calls in, I will get her on the air. But what I want to do first is talk a little bit about my website. The address for my website is www.multiplexvitamins.com. I hope everyone on the sound of my voice comes in and checks on that website, because this is important that I offer as much help as I can to people who are in need of good vitamins. Now, this computer is moving a little bit slower than I'd like it to, so if you all bear with me, we should have it up right now and soon. Okay, let's see here. Okay. Here we go. Boy, not responding. But what I was going to say is this is what the show is going to be about today. And if any of you would like to call in, soon my guest will call in. And when she calls in, I can put her on the air. The person that's going to be talking today is a lady who goes by the name DT. And she's very good at giving advice to men and telling them how to succeed with men. Now, we are experiencing some technical difficulties, but don't worry about that, because I'm trying to get this hold of this website here. Okay. But when she calls in, I will make sure to put it right on. And I also like to say some things about the show. Now, the show is going to be basically about everything. In the next few, I'm going to try to make it as much about everything as I can. And I believe she has just logged in. Hello, are you there?
I am, hello.
Oh, hey, how are you? We were having some technical problems because I couldn't get the computer to move fast enough. This is DT. She has a website that's devoted to helping men out. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, and you've spent a lot of your time researching and examining men and involving dating. Now, I have the calls are open for people to call in if they want to call in. But is it okay if I ask you a few questions?
Absolutely.
Okay. How much of your advice is based on personal experience, and how much of it is based on research?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say they're probably equally weighted. I do have a vast amount of personal experience. I do travel a lot. I do read a lot. But aside from all that, I do have a degree in psychology from UCLA, and because of my academic background in this field, I'm very familiar with like following research studies that different universities across the country put together. So a large part of my advice and what I'm writing is based on some of these statistics that are compiled in these university studies. So yes, there is a fair amount of personal research that personal experience that I encounter, plus the fact that, like I say, I keep up with all the research studies. Plus, outside of those two venues, I have interviewed over 20,000 men in formulating my responses that I see general patterns. I mean, 20,000 is a huge sample.
It is a lot. I was impressed by that number when I heard it.
Yeah. Most of the university studies, the samples are anywhere from like 800 to 1500, maybe, you know, if they got really good funding, maybe it's like 2000 is their sample search that they do. So to get a, to get 20,000 as, you know, a sample base, you know, it's quite a lot. I get over probably about 300 emails a day. And I see the same types of patterns again and again and again. So I see, so some of the advice that I derive from that comes from, you know, that 20,000 person sample that I, you know, personally did conducted myself.
I see. Now, just out of curiosity, and you know, this is sort of follow up to this. Are these 5%? You know, I remember reading, you know, reading about some of the stuff that your opinions on things, and you basically said that 5% of men have it going on. Is that the exact way that you described it?
Right, meaning that they know what to do. They are real men. They step into that role comfortably and easily, and as a result of doing what a man's true nature is, they are able to effectively get women.
Okay.
So there's another percentage of the population, maybe like 20% of the population, who get it right some of the time. Sometimes it's hit, sometimes it's missed, depending on the situation.
Right.
They get some of the principles, but not all of the principles. And then there is a greater population, 70% of the population of men, I think, are just completely clueless. And I think the reason why they got so clueless is because this is the first generation of men who were raised solely by single moms post the women's lib era, which was in the early 70s. So without having a this was the first generation of young men who did not have a dominant male role model in the house. That unfortunately a lot of these moms were so embittered and so, you know, what have you, against their husbands at the time, that they shut the husbands out completely and they raised the kid on their own. And I think that was a huge detriment, not only to the male children, but also to female children as well. I think each sex needs each parent for different reasons. I mean, there are things that that the father can bring to the table that the man, that the mom can't do everything. She can't be both, you know, she can, you know, give a good try and everything, but she can't be both genders and do so effectively. And I think that they were misguided, the moms of that generation were misguided to think that they could just do it all. And as a result, we have a generation of men who have greatly suffered. I think men are very confused today. They don't know which way is up. They don't know, you know, whether they should approach or retract or wait for the woman. Or like, they're all confused. All the normal dating procedures are all, like, you know, thrown out, thrown up in the air, and they're all confused. So basically, they're not effective with women. And as a result of not being effective with women, all kinds of other social problems have occurred because of that. I think a large majority of men have, as a result, resorted to three different modes of operation. And those three modes are, they have become players, or they have become resigned. In other words, they've checked out of the dating scene altogether. They're just going to sit back on their hands and wait for the woman to call them or the woman to hit on them because they've checked out. They feel that they're not ineffective. They don't want to get in trouble. They don't know what they're doing anyway. So they might as well sit around and do nothing until, you know, some woman hits on them. Or the third category is they're just plain not effective with women at all in any way, shape, or form. So I think there is an overabundance of, you know, male adult virgins these days, and those are unfortunately the small percentage of people that have just checked out, like, almost for good. I mean, it's not to say that they don't have sexual urges. They do, but they're just so, you know, bound by fear and indecision that, you know, it's mutating in very bad social ways. It's affecting lots of areas, not just, you know, with men, but, you know, it's it's affecting women and affecting the children. And, you know, now we have like another generation of kids, like, for example, the 20-something-year-old women have also been affected by what happened during the Women's Lib era, you know, with the we don't need the dads kind of syndrome, that they also have not been raised with a dad present, the young women. And as a result, unfortunately, they are effing just like men. And they see, you know, having intercourse as it just doesn't have any connection whatsoever. To them, it's just like a physical release, just like a guy oftentimes sees sex just as a physical release. So those young women, I think, the 20-something-year-old women, they are also another generation of kids who are resigned. They are so sure that they're not worth anything, that their lives aren't going anywhere, that they're not going to find a decent guy, because guess what? There are very few decent guys, you know, real guys left. They're so sure that all this is happening that they've just resigned. So they're just running around having rampant sex without any meaning to it. So, you know, I feel that if this procedure doesn't get interrupted, if it doesn't get self-corrected, it's going to keep trickling down to the next generation and the next generation and keep causing more and more social problems that we didn't have before. And I think the answer lies in bringing the man back, bringing the real man back and bringing him into his full glory and not apologizing for it. And that's why I'm writing the book, is because I'm a man's advocate, and I want to see them do well, and I want to see some of these social ills be reversed.
Do you think that are these 5% men that you would date, or are these 5% men that you personally would date?
Yes, men that I put in that category, yes, these are men that I would personally date. But beyond me, like I say, I always do my research, and, you know, I stay up on the academic research from the university studies as to empirical tests that they do as to what are the top qualities that women look for in selecting a man. I mean, yeah, in selecting a man. And unfortunately, you can't just go to your neighbor, you know, your female neighbor or female coworker and start asking this kind of stuff. And the reason why you can't is because their answers will be skewed. They will tell you one thing, but really they mean something else. So you almost have to get into a situation where it is some sort of university study that analyzes these things above and beyond just asking, you know, your friendly neighborhood woman yourself, because you're not going to get a straight answer from, you know, that woman coworker or the sister or the, you know, what have you. You're not going to get the real deal. So the studies can ask these questions and sniff them out, you know, without the woman really knowing what and how she's answering it, to get the real answer as to what's motivating her to, you know, be attracted to certain types versus others.
I understand. Do you feel that, like, that you came to the conclusion of 5%? How did you come into that figure? I mean, was it just because of after talking, or?
Yeah, I mean, after talking to 20,000 men, you get a pretty good handle of how many men actually have a clue and actually know what's going on and have accepted their manhood and fully step into, you know, their full glory of being a man.
And
it's that percentage is extremely small.
You know, you said something about the 5%. You mentioned the 4 C's.
Yes, the basis of my teachings are a little formula, a mnemonic formula that I created called the 4 C's. And basically what this is these are women's core drives. And these are drives that win the women over. And a lot of times men will say to me, oh, you know, women are so different, and, you know, how can you generalize it in such a way, and so on and so forth. But that my answer to that is I stripped down the behavior back to 10,000 years ago. What are our core animal drives? Because those are inherent in each of us. And it is my belief that the core drives for men are different than the core drives for women. Now, the four C's may end up on a man's top 10, but they're probably not the top four. So those four C's, for those of you who don't follow my column, and my column, by the way, is on myspace.com/ dating tips for men, F-O-R, men, all one word. Anyway, the four C's are confidence. That's the number one quality that most women are looking for when they get attracted to a man. So what is confidence? It could be a leadership quality. It could be giving. It could be protecting. It could be serving. There's so many things that encompass the word confidence, but that is the number one quality. The second quality that's important is they need you to connect with them. They need you to find something in common with them and find a bond, create a bond with them. Because women's makeup is all about bonding. They're all about relationships. In other words, when she produces an offspring, she has to have a relationship with the kid. When she marries a husband, she has to have a relationship with the husband. And then in turn, it gets bigger. She has a relationship with her community by being involved with her schools or the local activities, within her community. So creating those bonds are very, very important to a woman. So as a man, as a dating man, the best way to approach a woman, I know some men resort to, one-liners and what have you, or women will give you the biggest lie, which they say, oh, well, we want a man that's funny. That always, helps us out. But I don't have funny as one of my four C's. And for a couple of reasons, it's not on there. Primarily, it's not on there because I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's needed. That's the main reason. And the second reason I don't have it on there is because I think the humor factor is almost come standard issue in every guy. So why do you even need to ask for it when it's already standard issue? I would say probably 80% of men are funny as hell. So it's almost like a guy saying, well, I want a woman that has two breasts. You don't even have to ask for that. She already comes with two breasts. So that's how I view the humor factor, that most men, if given the opportunity, they're like total crack-ups.
Well, also there's different kinds of humor. I mean,
Of course, there's probably 20 different kinds of humor. But generally speaking, I do not think it's necessary to winning the woman over. Would it help? Of course it would help. I mean, any attribute that you have that's a positive attribute, it's always going to help. But I have known many, many men that cracked me up, that had me, peeing in my pants, and you know what? I was not turned on by them at all. Did I laugh? Of course I laughed. Did I have fun? Of course I had fun. Did I want to date them? No. Why? Because some of these other four C's were not in place. So, the funny factor does not trump all. In fact, it's I don't know how far down on the totem pole it is. I don't even know if it might be important in the top 10. I'll say that, but it's definitely not in the top four.
Well, let me ask you this. What are the other three?
Okay. Well, I was just going to finish my thought, if I could, please. For a dating man, the way that I tell him to approach her is to look around the room, either find something in common with what's going on in the room, or look to her if she's engaging in a particular activity or, reading a newspaper or, seeing an article or engaging in a particular activity, make the icebreaker be about the activity. I mean, if you're both snowboarding and you're both on the chairlift or what have you, it's like, wow, wasn't that a great run? Or, run number four over here is closed, so even though they haven't updated the signals yet, don't take run number four. And run number five is just as good. Have you tried number five yet? Use some sort of commonality to create a bond with the woman. That's what I would recommend as an icebreaker.
So the first one is confidence, right?
Confidence is number one. Number two is connect with her,
okay,
which is to find commonality or create a bond. Number three is caring.
Okay, give me an example of caring.
Well, you pretty much have to give a rat's ass, because if you don't care about her, you know, that's going to come through loud and clear. I mean, you can date her, but if your actions show that you would rather be doing something else than looking out, you know, for her well-being and what have you, it's going to come through. I'll have to think a little bit on a particular example, but I think we all know what I mean, that
right,
you have to give a rat's ass. You have to make an effort. If it's too much effort and you start making excuses like, you know, I have too much work to do, or you live too far away, or you know, I just can't make it for whatever other reasons, it sends a message to her that she is not important, that some of these other things are going to take precedence over her. And of course, you know, life is a balance. Of course, there's always going to be things that take precedence over her. But if you do this on a continual basis, it's going to, you know, shoot you in the foot.
Okay.
At some point in time, some of the time, you know, probably like 20% of the time, you have got to demonstrate the caring gene.
Now,
you know, if it's not present at all in any way, shape, or form, it's going to be a huge detriment in your winning her over.
Okay. The fourth one is consistency, right?
Yes, the fourth one is consistency. Sometimes I call this my character gene. Consistency means that you know, that you're showing up, that you're responsible, you're reliable. You know, if you tell her you're going to call her at 4 o'clock, then you do call her at 4 o'clock. And then you make a consistent plan to include her. This is like after you're dating, you know, after you're like boyfriend, girlfriend. But you make a consistent plan to include her in your life and in your day. So, you know, that depending on the continuum, where in the time continuum you are and, you know, how many dates it's been, you know, it could be maybe contacting her, I don't know, 3 times a week or something, for someone that you're really into. Now, if the words are saying you are really into her, but you take 3 weeks, you know, in between the last time you saw her and now to contact her, she's not going to take, you know, that very seriously. She's going to think there is no consistency factor. And that lack of consistency factor is going to make her feel insecure. And that's the last thing you want to do. You want to make her feel secure. You want to make her feel like you're taking steps to include her in your life.
I understand. Just out of curiosity, I know that you seem to, at least this is my impression, that you would prefer a man approach a woman rather than a woman approaching a man. Does that mean that it's wrong for a woman to flirt with a guy she likes?
It's not wrong for a woman to flirt with a guy, but I guess let's define terms here. I think it's totally fine. In fact, many of the men tell me that they don't even have an ounce of courage to even come forward unless the woman sends them a signal first. You know, the signal could be a particular look, you know, with her eyes, or it could be a smile, or perhaps a nod, or a sweeping of her hair, or something of this nature. So those are all things that I call flirting, which are totally okay, because that's the natural peacock dance that the male-female are going to go through before, you know, there's a connection and he or she comes over. What I don't agree to today is where women approach men, where women are asking the men to dance, where women are asking the man for his phone number, where the women are asking, you know, for the first date and stuff like that. I don't agree with that. And the reason why I don't is because from the woman's point of view, we go by your actions. And picking up the phone to call us or walking across the dance floor to, you know, approach us or what have you, those are actions. So you guys can talk all you want, but we're going to go by your actions. So if the actions don't match the words, it's going to make us insecure, and it's going to make it look like you're really not that into us, or that you're fibbing for ulterior motives, or what have you. So the reason why I don't like women to do the approaching or the calling or the asking or what have you is because she doesn't get to fully know the answer to the all-important question. And that question is this guy into me?
Right.
So if the girl is calling the guy, you know, hey, let's go out for, you know, sushi or whatever tonight, he may say yes. But you know what? That doesn't tell me anything. Because he might say yes for a whole host of reasons, and here are a couple of reasons. He might say yes because he's lonely, he's bored, he's horny, out of convenience, you know, whatever, all these idiotic reasons. That doesn't tell the girl that he's into her, none whatsoever. So why should she be going out with somebody where she doesn't know whether he's into her or not? It's not the natural order of things. So in my recommendation, I would not advise it for the women to do so. And from the man's point of view, I don't advise it either. And the reason why is because real men feel good about taking risks. Real men feel good about taking a challenge. Real men like the chase and the hunt. So you're robbing the men of all these like really great qualities that they really get off on. Also, if she is approaching you, what does that mean? You're just going to get leftovers? You're just going to get whoever, like, comes to approach you? Rather than you're picking out, you know, a girl among 200 women, and that's the girl that that really turns you on. That's the girl that you want to approach. So if it's girl number 200 is the one that you really like, that's the one that you should be pursuing. You shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't accept girl number 87 coming to you just because your ego is flattered because she came to you. But, you know, when you get right down to it, you may have never have chosen her if the tables were turned, if you had the guts to approach her first.
Right.
So then you get into relationships, and both parties are guilty of this, male and female, are guilty of getting in relationships where they're not really that turned on by the person, that person doesn't do it for them. And they spend the next 4, 5, 6 months or longer in a relationship where the four C's are not present, you don't have that much in common, and you're there just because of default. It's an idiotic reason to hook up, in my opinion.
Well, let me ask you this. If what do you say to a man who wants to approach a woman who he finds intimidating, but he's attracted to her?
Well, that is the natural way. Men do approach women primarily due to visual reasons, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. And please, you guys need to turn a deaf ear when you hear women, you know, put you down for this. There is no put down necessary whatsoever. That is the natural order of things. Men are attracted to women because of what they see. So if they see her and now she's maybe a 8, 9, or 10, you know, unfortunately for a lot of men, the intimidation factor kicks in. And to that, I always refer to my Babe Ruth theory, that Babe Ruth used to say that he was not a better athlete than any of the other athletes that were playing on the field, you know, during his time. He said the reason why he was so successful and the reason why his averages were so high was because he was simply at bat more. So, makes sense. I mean, if you're going to get on the plate and swing at it, you're going to have much better averages than if you're going to be at bat 1,000 times and all your, you know, teammates and people on the other teams and what have you, if they're only up at bat 500 times, guess what? You have double the advantage they do.
Well, not only that, yeah, I don't know if you heard this, but I think I remember reading somewhere that he, you know, He's like, he scored, I think, at one time more home runs than anybody. But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
He also struck out more than anybody.
Well, there you go. And
he
that's,
was up
that's,
at bat, you know. Yeah.
But you know what? Everybody remembers his, you know, hitting the ball, his you know, runs hit average, you know, runs batted in or what have you. Everyone remembers the part that he, his batting average, I should say.
Yeah.
So, and that's how, when I teach my guys, I tell them to remember that. And I tell, and one of the blogs that I had written that became number one was, what are the batting averages for dating? And I think men were absolutely shocked to know what those averages are. I think, I don't know where these guys get these numbers from, but I think that a lot of guys think that their average should be 70% or something. And it's nowhere near that amount. So what I tell them, for every 10 women you hit on, you'll be lucky if you get one or two that have a somewhat positive response.
Yeah.
So the average is like 10%. So if you know that going up to the plate or approaching her, so to speak, if you know that going in, that, you know, you're going to strike out 9 times out of 10 and 1 or 2 times out of 10, you're going to hit that ball, then all the pressure is off because then you don't seem like an oddball. But if you go in there and you only hit on, you know, 10 girls for the entire year and 7 of them said no, I can see why a lot of guys would get depressed over those numbers. I mean, you got to hit on girls a lot. And the cool thing is, once you hit on girls a lot, your averages go up. I think by the time you are really in the practice of this and you've gotten over your fear and you don't have any qualms, I think it's very possible for your averages to be 50% or better. So it's just a numbers game. Don't worry about that she's going to say no or what have you. And the best way to not worry that she's going to say no is I tell my guys to practice anywhere and everywhere, even with girls that you have no intention of taking out. And the only goal in practicing with these other girls is to see if you can get some slight positive response. By a slight positive response, I mean maybe get a laugh out of her, maybe get a giggle, maybe get a nod, maybe get a smile. Those are slight positive responses. Now, if she starts like starting a conversation with you on top of all that, you know, that's even more bonus. But you guys should be practicing everywhere, while you're waiting in line, while you're pumping gas, while you're going to the post office, while you went to the dry cleaners. I mean, every single person you come in contact with, you should be practicing this. And again, I don't care what they weigh or how they look or how she's not your cup of tea or how she's not your type. It doesn't matter. You need it for practice because you know what? If you practice with 100 people, then finally when the girl that does turn you on come along, you're not intimidated because, heck, you've been practicing all this time. Now, wouldn't that make sense with baseball too? I mean, if your coach had you practice 3 hours a day, every single day, whether you sat on the bench or not, then the one time when they call you to get on the plate, you're the relief guy or whatever, you're not going to croak. Why? Because you've been practicing every day, 3 hours a day.
Not,
I mean,
not
I'm not telling my guys to practice 3 hours a day, but, you know,
like
I'm just using an example.
We have a call. Would you like to take it? Or?
I absolutely would.
Okay.
Hi, caller. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
How can I help you today?
What's the website again?
What?
It's myspace.com/datingtipsformen. It's all one word, and four is F-O-R.
Oh, okay. Yes, there's a girl at school who I do like, and I wish we could go out, but, you know, that's never going to happen. Because of me. Not her, but because of me. And that's just fine, but I think we will never go out, we will never be friends, and we will never talk to each other. But there's one thing that she will never find out or will never know, and that is I love her oh so much. she can talk about me behind my back, that's fine. This is why we are living in the United States, to talk about anything we want to.
And your question is?
No one cares about me.
Well, you know what? If you feel that way, if you feel that no one cares about you, it's often a reflection of how we feel about ourselves. So first off, you have to work on yourself to care about yourself.
Oh, okay.
Because someone who cares about themselves would not be happy with having other people not care about them in return as well. So one of the main things that I tell guys to do when they're having trouble with approaching women or dating women or whatever, the very first thing I ask them is, what are you doing job? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Are you there, caller?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, are you listening? So, caller, are you listening? Otherwise, we're going to go to the next caller.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Okay, if you're not listening, we're going to go to the next caller.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, to complete that thought is, even if he's off the line, to complete that thought, I tell them, you have to have passion in your life. You have to find something that you really are good at and just prove yourself in that area. And it could be a job, it could be a career, or it could be, you know, whatever your interest is. It could be, you know, you want to take up guitar because it really excites you, and then you work on your craft, you know, an hour a day or whatever, and you get better at guitar. So anyway, all that, you know, if you're in a job or a career that you really like, and or if you have a passion or a hobby or interest that you really like, all of those things translate to being more confident in yourself towards women. So forget about trying to be more confident in front of women, because it doesn't work that way. You have to start with the inner confidence first. And in order to do that, you have to find your passion. You have to find out what you're good at and what excites you. And then when you are in front of the woman that really excites you, you can let that natural passion for your guitar or you're really good at golf or, you know, whatever it is, come through. And that's what creates confidence.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think is the number one misconception about men, and what is the number one misconception about women?
The number one conception about men is women, you know, wrongly think, that they choose women based on their personality. And that is absolutely not the case at all. Men are very visual, and they choose women based on how attractive that woman is to that particular man. And, you know, each man has their own different types and preferences as to what they want. But visually is how men are attracted to women. Now, after they have the visual and they've got you in front of them, then after some point in time, then the personality will become important. But that is not the number one thing that they look for.
Well,
and the reason why women have this misconception is because women choose men based on personality, but the opposite is not true.
Well, you know, sometimes this is the way I look at it. I mean, couldn't inner beauty make outer beauty look more beautiful?
No. Usually not. I mean, usually there is something about her. Like I say, each man has his own, you know, preferences as to what they like and don't like. You know, it might be, to the next guy, this girl might be unattractive completely. But let's say guy number one has like a foot fetish or something, and the girl has like the most beautiful feet on earth, even though the rest of her doesn't look so good. But, you know, because guy number one is really into feet, then that's what's going to turn him on. So he's going to go initially based on, you know, what he sees visually, what his interpretation of what he likes and what he wants visually. I have had thousands and thousands of men tell me that they have dated or approached women who were beautiful as all get-outs, you know, 8, 9s, and 10s, and they would end up dumping her, and the reason why is once she opened her mouth, she's like a total airhead, or they have nothing in common. So, like I say, the initial barrier is visual for men, but after some point in time, the personality will kick in. But I think it's a misconception that women think you're going to choose them for their spark. I mean, I hear this from women all day long. If I could have a dollar for every time a woman says, well, you know, I think men should choose us, you know, based on our sparkling personality. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And biologically, the reason why it doesn't work that way is they want a woman to be fit and healthy to produce their offspring. So you're not going to right out of the gate choose someone that may not be able to, you know, carry your seed, so to speak. I mean, that's the biological reason of why it is the way that it is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let me ask this other thing. If 5% of men have it going on, what
yes.
percentage of women have it going on?
Did you want me to give you the misperception about women before
sure.
we go on to
oh,
that
yeah,
one?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot. Go
that's
on.
Okay. No problem. I think the misperception that men have towards women is that they think women like sex as much as they.
Right.
And I think that's a huge misperception. Women are not built to be pleasured by sex. In fact, we didn't even like discover orgasms and stuff until like 100 years ago in the Victorian age. So for the most part, you know, for the general population and so forth. And then it wasn't until the advent of the pill in the early 70s, I believe it was, that that women were able to discover that they could have sex for recreation rather than procreation. But prior to all this, prior to the 100 years ago, and, you know, we've had a history of millions of years, it wasn't in the woman's makeup to be pleasured herself, whereas men it was, but not the women. So I think it's a huge misperception. I think, you know, can women enjoy sex? Of course they can. Is there a large percentage of women who do? Of course they can. But I think all in all, I think when you get right down to it, the biology of it all is women's bodies are built to pop out a kid. That's like her whole purpose in life is to pop out a kid, and it's not necessarily to have fun at it. So in order to have fun at sex, you know, you have to really work it. And the way that men get pleasured is very different than a way that a woman would get pleasured. Men get pleasured physically, and women are not physical. Women get pleasure. They have to be stimulated mentally in order to get into the physical. So there's a lot of other issues that go on with that. So I think if you doubt what I'm saying, ask any married guy 1 year after the birth of the child how frequent the sex is. And I'm sure it, like, you know, I mean, part of that is due to, you know, the hormones and everything, but after 1 year the hormones should be back to normal, you know, in a woman's body. Ask any married guy, you know, after the birth of a child how much sex they're getting. I mean, that sex, like, dramatically, you know, drops off the face of the earth. So it doesn't have to be that way. But if you, as a man, understand that women are not built for sex, that they're not going to be motivated by sex the same way you are, and for goodness sakes, men have 7 times the testosterone level that women do. So you've got like a natural drive, you know, every single day, every single second of the day, whereas we don't. So if you understand all that, and if you understand that women are not motivated physically, that they're motivated mentally, then you can get your woman to have sex as much as you want. All you have, you know, it's just a matter of knowing how she operates and what works for her. And I think it's a huge secret that is not out in the public at all. And everyone keeps thinking that, well, you know, if I, you know, give her more orgasms and stuff, she'll be back for more. But there's a lot more that goes into female sexuality than just giving her orgasms. I mean,
right.
you've got to stimulate her mentally, and if you do that, you can get all the sex you want.
I understand.
So that's the misperception.
Okay,
so let's go to your next question. Unless you had,
does 5% of men have it going on? What percentage of women have it going on?
In my opinion, I think 30% of women have it going on. 20% of them get it right some of the time, and 50% don't have a clue. So when I read the stats for men, the 5% for men, they get all wigged out and they say, well, what does that mean? Women know everything? Women, are all that? No, there's a huge percentage of the population of women who I also will deem clueless. I mean, 50% compared to the men's 70%. So, because I'm writing this particular book, and because the slant on this first book is specifically for men, to advocate men, to get them to improve and have an easier life with women and just be more happy with women overall, doesn't mean that, I'm not going to address the women. I will address the women. When I write the women's book, I will address them too, because there's a lot of stuff that they are not getting either.
It's funny, not to interrupt, but you also mentioned that there was like a core four for women.
Yes.
Do you mind if I ask you about that? Or?
Yes, we've covered the core four. Those were the four C's.
Oh, no, but you said there was something different for women, that you had a different...
Oh, yes.
That women needed to know.
The flip side of the four C's for women is what, okay, the four C's are what men are doing to women to win the women over. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so the flip of that is what the woman should be doing to win the men over.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, these are. Oops, I'm just looking at something here real quick. These are things that have to be in place in order for the man to feel the sensation of, oh, I'm really falling for this girl, or I'm really in love with this girl, or I really want this girl. It's the flip side of all that. So the first one is to be needed.
Mm-hmm.
So men have to feel like they have a place. They have to feel like them being in your life is making a difference, that on some level that you need them. Because if you don't need them at all, if the woman is too much of an, and you see this day in and day out with like really powerful women, if she's too much of an Amazon and she's handling too many things on her own, the guy just shrugs his shoulders saying, well, what the heck do you need me for? So it's not going to work. The guy has to, the way he gets his connection is he has to feel needed. Because remember, the flip side of being needed is being a giver. So, the giver feeds into the first C, which is confidence, which is it being a leader,
right,
and a giver and, taking charge and all that kind of stuff. So the male side of that is he's got to feel needed. So that's the first one. The second core four for a guy is being appreciated. That, yes, he's going to go out and slay the dragons and, drag it back to the camp and what have you. And he wants to, he will do all that. His body was built for that. He's stronger. He's fitter. He's whatever. He will do all that. But he just needs a little, appreciation at the end of the day. Because otherwise, if you take him completely for granted and you don't appreciate him, sooner or later he's going to fall out of love with you, conversely, he will never fall in love with the girl that doesn't appreciate him for anything. In other words, no guy wants to feel like he's being taken for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
So because if you put out, and you feel that she's abusing you, that's not going to turn a guy on. I mean, he wants to know that he's appreciated.
And the third C?
The third one for the guy is being valued. So you have to place a value on his presence. I mean, you have to really want to, spend time with him. And, again, it's very similar to being appreciated, but you have to value him. And lastly, the last core four is acceptance, that they have to know that you have accepted them. And that happens, let me describe this in a physical manner. You know, the reason why men like BJs so much is because for a woman to swallow or to accept them in their mouths is a form of acceptance. When you have intercourse, the woman is accepting, you know, another person into her body. She's accepting and receiving the penis in her body. Same thing goes with emotionally, that you have to accept him. So the more women get into looking up to their man and having respect for their man and accepting them, you know, showing, you know, being comfortable, bringing him around her office, around her friends, around her family, where other people might judge, you know, the situation, what have you, the more she can incorporate that man into being accepted, the faster she's going to get with winning him over.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the core four for men.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, what would you consider to be a man accepting, man letting a woman be a woman?
Say it one more time. What would?
Well, if a woman wants should let a man be a man, then
yes.
What would a man letting a woman be a woman be?
Well, I teach in my blogs what I call pushback factor, which every now and again, a woman wants to be a ball buster. And I wouldn't advise using this technique all the time, because if a guy uses this technique too much, he's going to be deemed an a-hole or what have you. But every now and again, on issues that are very important to the man, you have to draw your line in the sand, and you have to push back. And you have to tell her no and mean it. And you have to tell her, here's where I stand on this issue, and here's the consequences if you breach this. And this is my line in the sand, and I'm not going to let you push me around. So, in other words, you don't let her lead. You don't let her take charge. You don't let her manipulate you. You don't let her do some of the masculine things that are emasculating to the man.
Well, you know,
so you have to push back. So in doing so, she is then taking I hate to use this word because I know it's like a negative word, but subservient, submissive type of role. That there has to, you can't have two people wearing the pants in the house. One person has to be the leader and the dominant one, and the other person has to be the supporter. And every now and again, women love to cross that line, and they want to take charge and manipulate you and control you and what have you. And it doesn't, relationships don't work well that way.
Yeah, you know, I was going to make a comment. I don't know if you've ever seen the Rocky films.
Yes.
But, you know, like Rocky II, there is a particular line that goes where Rocky says to Adrian, you know, because Rocky was wanting to fight to get him and his wife out of poverty.
Right.
And Rocky says, there he goes, Adrian, I never asked you to stop being a woman. Please don't ever ask me to stop being a man.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know what your opinion was of those movies, but...
Yes, no, I like that. And yes, like I say, and again, you can't do it with 100% frequency because you're just going to be deemed a jerk, but on the issues that are very important to you, you have to push back. And Rocky knew that he knew what he had to do to bring himself and his family up to the next level. And it's like, don't stand in my way. I'm not telling you how to do your job. Don't tell me how to do my job. And this is what I need to do. And
later
that's the
on,
end of it.
Yeah, and later on in the hospital, like he's sitting here and he's reading. I'm sorry, I'm a Rocky buff, so it's...
Yeah, no, that was a terrific example. I like that example because it was
like,
very...
There's this thing where you know, she's like, he's reading poetry to her, and, you know, when she's in a coma, well, she lapses out, and then finally she says to him, there's one thing I want you to do for me, and that's win. And that's kind of a great line because it's her saying to him, you know, it's okay. I mean, I'm not totally okay with it, but you know, if it's what you have to do, then that's fine. I mean, you're right. I'm not going to stop you from being a man. So, And he always respected her. If you ever watched the movies, he always respected her. He always, he never cursed in front of her. He never, I mean, he would always treat her with respect. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't talk to my wife like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, that was always, well, I always loved those movies. You know?
I think it's a great example, and thank you for bringing it up. It was a great example.
Yeah. The you know, it's what other movies do you consider to be good movies that a man should watch to learn about what a woman would want?
To learn what a woman would want.
Well, it seems like to me, usually, have you ever noticed they always seem to bring up like Affair to Remember or I mean, do you think that relationships get romanticized too much or?
I think they do. I think movies are a little bit more even-handed. I would say television and other media is not even-handed at all. I think most forms of media are completely have a female slant to them.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning that what you see on TV as to what, you know, it's the reason why it has a bias towards women and oftentimes anti-man is because of the advertisers. The advertisers know who are the ones that are buying the products. You know, I'd say more than 90% of all products are bought by women. Even when the product is intended for a man, it's still bought by a woman. So they know this, and they gear, you know, television programming and such primarily to women. I would say probably, you know, my men tell me that there's only like two or three channels on TV that they can watch. You know, there's like 500 channels.
Yeah.
And the only channels that they watch, outside of sports because that doesn't count, the only channels that they tell me that they watch are Discovery and History Channel. So all other 498 channels are all geared to women.
Well, you know, another thing, I mean, is that, like, there are certain things that I've noticed. Like, if you do a show about a man and a woman, they have to be romantically interested in each other by the end of the run of the series. I mean, have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
You don't put them, you don't have them just be friends. It just doesn't work like that.
Right.
And it seems like that in real life it just doesn't work that way, you know. But I think everybody wants to see the sort of, you know, the two main characters just kiss, you know.
Right.
Become
an or get married. You know, a lot of season finales, almost always somebody is getting married.
Or series finales. I mean, it's usually a wedding.
Right.
And
that's
it's usually
yeah.
someone or a baby being born.
Right.
It's a
because
wedding.
Those are issues that are important to a woman. So that's why they're showing them, and the reason why they're catering to women is because they know that after watching that program, the woman's going to go in the market and shop for their products.
Oh, you mean for the things that are sold in the commercial?
Right.
Yeah,
but storylines are biased because of, you know, the strong, you know, dollar influence of the women's, you know, buying power. So it's just be careful with television programming because it is decidedly skewed. Movies, not so much, because movies, you know, I think probably either ticket holder will, you know, buy a movie ticket. You know, I mean, there's lots of shoot 'em up, you know, car crash, blow up, dynamite kind of action movies. There's many of those types of movies that are good for men. It's not completely biased only in the romance department, you know, movie-wise. Would you agree?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, there are certain things that just don't happen in real life. I mean, you know, and it is a little bit done wrong, or not done wrong, but done in a biased fashion. So, we have about a minute left. Is there anything that you wanted to say to close things up with? Or?
Well, if they wanted to visit me on myspace.com/datingtipsformen, I take questions from my men who want to get better with women and win women over. I teach them how to do it very easily, and I often inject humor and entertainment in it. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of core values that are discussed to make it a lot easier on a guy than what he's currently doing right now. So anyway, so I would suggest going there. All of my postings are published anonymously, so
mm-hmm.
their privacy is held in the strictest confidence.
Okay.
So they don't have to reveal themselves. I know that the privacy issue is, you know, an issue for many, many men, so I keep their anonymity, you know, to myself.
All right.
And, you know, it's a great place to come visit. You can, you know, if you don't want to participate yourself, you can read the questions that other men have submitted. And usually the ones that get published are the ones that I find have universal appeal, that a lot of men can relate to the same types of issues. Those are the ones that get, you know, on the boards, so to speak. So that's what's going on. Look for my book that's coming up. Hopefully I'm in the final editing stages right now. So if you stay abreast of my website on MySpace, I will inform you as to when that launch date will be, hopefully in a couple of months from now. Those of the listeners who are in the Los Angeles area, I also do have a cable TV show on Time Warner Cable that they can check their local listings. Usually it airs about once a week or once every 10 days, depending on the time slots.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun having you on my show.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate your having me on your show too. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope I was a little bit of help.
You were, and I hope I can bring you on again in a few months to promote your book when it's out.
That'd be great. I love that.
Okay. Well, talk to you later, DT.
Okay. Thanks again. Now. Bye.
Bye.
Now.
Bye.